Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We're teaching through the book of Galatians. It's Paul's impassioned letter to a church that he founded and is as important today as it was back then, for the truth of the gospel's sake was at stake. Last week, we took a look and compared life in the flesh versus life in the Spirit, life in Christ Jesus. I want to continue on. If you missed it, go back. By the way, we're titling this one Part 7. I just want to skip over the 6. Don't want to give the God of this world, don't want to give humanism, that is, that attitude that we humans are in control and don't need any other influence. Humanism manifested. No 6 in this series. Enough on that. O foolish Galatians, Paul, we begin in what's called chapter 3. There was no chapter and verse. This was a letter Paul was writing, he'll say later, to his children. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministers to you, the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, folks, you know, this is, God bless the translators and their efforts. They missed the mark here. And I assure you, the God of this world takes advantage every time a mistake is made. The Greek, which is being translated, worketh miracles among you, is a simple energos dunamis, in human. Translates, energizes power in you. The preacher of faith. And when faith comes, God puts the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you. And therefore, energizes power. That that same power, Paul says in another place, that raised Christ from the dead. Believe you me, the false prophet and the Antichrist are going to work greater miracles to fool the people in the last days. We've seen some precursors of it. I'm not going to name names. If you expose yourself at all to some of the BS that goes on called Christianity on television and in churches today, you understand. Was he perfect? Doeth he it by the works of the law? Oh, thank God, I don't have to be perfect. To be used to energize dunamis power in you. Or by the hearing of faith. I'm in the same position each and every one of you are, by faith. We're going to get to that in a little bit. Hang in there. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Oh, folks, I don't have time to go back to that passage in Genesis. I believe it's the 15th chapter. I believe it's the 6th verse, wherein it says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness." Both bad translations. Go to the Hebrew. It says, "And Abraham amen God." That is, had no doubt. Are we not allowed to have doubt? Yeah, we do. It's a human condition. But by the Spirit, that possibility with the God of impossibilities is empowered to reach up and with our amen, touch God's amen. And that faith is accounted for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would righteousify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now Paul's going to begin an argument against those false brethren from James who attempted to equate the law with the gospel, who attempted to equate works with grace. Paul needs to make this argument. He says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." but that no man, properly translated, is righteousified in the sight of God, it is evident. No man is righteousified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the righteous shall live by faith. And the law, let's get right to it, Paul says it, the law is not of faith. Anyone who can do all the law, it says, the man that doeth them shall live in them. If you're relying on your works, if you're relying on your righteousness, you're in a heap of big trouble. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We need to go back and look at a few words in that 10th verse. It says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. The Greek is a wonderful language in that it is so specific. I'm sitting under the roof of my house, but it's there and I'm here. It's staying there, God willing, and I'm here. This word, when it speaks of under, it speaks of something that's falling. And there ain't nothing gonna stop it. What's fallen? The curse. What's the curse? For sin comes death. And, you know, this works of the law, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You know, it doesn't talk about, what your life looks like after you've come to the understanding of what Christ has done for you. And now perhaps you're living a little better life. You get no credit for that. You get credit for using that gift of God called faith. But what about all the time before that? Continueth not in all things, which is written in the book of the law. Paul says, you know, past, present, future, it don't matter. It don't matter. No flesh shall be righteousified by the law in the sight of God. The law is not of faith. Life in the flesh is not life in the spirit. Life in the flesh, it's as grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever, as we demonstrated and preached last week. It says in the 13th verse, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. This word, redeemed, it means a price paid to restore something that was lost. What was lost? Through Adam and Eve, our relationship with God. They were removed from the Garden of Eden, which means the heart of God. And that which was required to restore that which we lost is declared here. Christ has paid the price. Fully. To restore us and that which we lost, to restore us to the heart of God. That parable in the Gospels of the man who sold everything that he had in order to buy the field, that he might take the treasure thereof from it. Tells us Christ paid the price to redeem the whole world. But that which Adam and Eve did not give God, God treasured so highly. Faith that he, in His Son, paid the price for the whole field that he might take the treasure. People, men and women of faith who exercise that measure, that gift of God called faith. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, King James reads, for us. The Greek reads, over us. The curse was falling. Picture, if you will, a guillotine. The blade is falling. It's coming down. Christ moved in over us, and a blade fell on him. You say, Don, are you telling me Christ was cursed? Not me. Scripture is very clear that God laid on him, that is Jesus, the iniquities of us all. Not just the sins we know about, but the sins of our mind and our thoughts. Not just the sins we know about and our minds and our thoughts, but our condition of sin. Two offerings, as one would enter the tabernacle of the wilderness. There was the trespass offering, that which we knew about, and then there was the sin offering, for that was the condition of sin. Types of Christ, vicarious sacrifice, accepted by God until the time the Savior, our Savior, had come. Being made a curse over us. Another type, because no one type was sufficient of Christ, was the Ark of the Covenant, made of acacia wood, a root out of dry ground, like we, a man, symbol of humanity, covered with gold, symbol of divinity, inside. Aaron's rod, which was a dead piece of wood but budded into life. A pot of manna, which never survived from one day to the next, God proving his daily provision for us. But in the ark, the manna stayed whole. Symbol of God's provision, and the table of stone, tables of stone. The Ten Commandments, typical of the whole law, not just the Ten Commandments. Covered by that which is called the mercy seat. The Hebrew, kapareth, covering over that type of Christ's life, perfect performance of the law. Rose to newness of life, is our daily possession. There is that story in the scriptures where at one time, and it's a horrible story, the Israelites had lost to an enemy the ark. The enemies couldn't handle having the ark in their presence. I'm cutting through the story quickly because I want to go quickly. As the ark is returned, it's being drawn on a cart by oxen. When it arrives, the men in the camp lift the mercy seat and are exposed to that standard of God which no man can be exposed to without. Well, let me just tell you the rest of the story. When the mercy seat, when the kapareth is lifted and men are exposed, God kills 50,000 in the camp that day. A number, a type of harvest. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law that which was falling on us, being made a curse over us. It fell on him. That's why, in some of his last words, Jesus would cry, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken of God, the curse that was due us fell on him." This letter of Galatians is not written out of whole cloth. So much of the scripture is witness to that, those words which Paul continues in all his messages. But let's go to one particular passage. Let's go to the third chapter of the book of Romans. 20th verse says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified." Where do we hear that? We heard it in the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter. Be righteousified in the sight, in his sight, that is God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That was its purpose. We're going to get into that hopefully next week. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Don't have time today. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all the faithing ones. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being righteousified freely by his grace, unmerited favor, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, through the full price paid to restore that which was lost, that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth. King James, I'll read it. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Let me give you the better translation. Whom God, speaking of Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth before his face forever. The Greek word is to be a hilasterion, that word from which we get hilarious, hilasterion. That's the Greek translation of the Hebrew word kapareth, mercy seat, over us, whom God has set before his face, Jesus Christ. To be a hilasterion, a covering. The mercy seat also was that place where once a year, when the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, seven times, number of completion, that is the place where God, deeming the sacrifice to be acceptable, would come down and appear in the Shekinah on the mercy seat, that place where God met the high priest, that type of all of us. That place where God would meet us. It is Jesus Christ. Over us. Having redeemed us. Having restored us. Not by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. This is the gospel. And we, by God's grace, by God's Spirit, because of faith, are going to continue preaching the good good news of Jesus Christ without the works of the law. And that's the God School for today.